Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. I saw something on social media asking which player in NBA history would get everyone one-on-one. And one-on-one, like I remember as a kid, Dr. J was going to play Kareem and on one of these like Battle of the Stars type things.
Remember
on
that?
TV.
The one-on-one? Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Kareem did him. Kareem, because he's tall.
The
right?
league should bring that back, yeah. man. Like, give me that during All-Star break.
But
among, a one-on-one tournament.
Like, the taller player is usually going to win, right? Especially if he's skilled. Maybe the best one-on-one player, I would imagine it'd be KD, right, all time. Seven feet tall, handles a shot.
Because I said this a couple years ago. I think LeBron James would beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah, one-on-one, he's too big, yeah. One-on-one, sure. If you played a 21, whatever, 11, it doesn't matter.
I didn't say that. Jay said that.
Yes, I'm the one that said that.
Yeah, but because the taller player usually wins. Would KD be the number one all-time one-on-one player?
I still think Bron, man.
Bron would beat KD one-on-one, you think? Just because of the weight.
The weight
I don't
difference.
Know, man. I think KD's,
and the body difference. I think
KD's shot plus his size.
Ain't like LeBron small, dude. Cat 6'9".
Yeah, but he's going to have to muscle him
like
every time.
The young LeBron against like prime Bron against prime KD?
Up. No, LeBron KD should set that up one-on-one. King McClure, ESPN college basketball analyst. Who would, former Baylor guard, King, who would win one-on-one, you or Jay Will?
Man, right now, I'm going to take myself. I don't know.
Wait, Jay right Will now, King? Right now, of course.
But in his prime, though, I mean, I might have to give it to Jay Will, though. Mm-hmm.
King, you rock, though. I ain't trying to mess with you right now. I'll watch you on the sideline right now, okay?
It is time for the Boost Mobile Tournament Preview. Which team impressed you the most yesterday?
Man, I was impressed by at least three, but I think the Kansas State game really did something to me. And to watch Marquise Noel be able to put up the numbers that he put up, and when he twisted his ankle, everybody thought the game was over. I thought the game was over because when he went out, the momentum just absolutely shifted. His team did not look the same. They were out of whack, turning the ball over. It just didn't look like Kansas State. But for him to come back in the game, he hit the three as soon as he got the rebound, but he retwisted it, and he was hobbling up the court and still able to tough it out and play the last 8 minutes on a sprained ankle that looked pretty serious because he couldn't run when he got back on the court. So I thought the game was over. But for him to still be able to tough it out, I mean, he's from New York, and to put up the performance that he did, I mean, that right there was so impressive to me. That was probably one of the top performances we've ever seen in the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, outside of that, you know, UConn looks great. Gonzaga, Drew Timmy looked amazing. I mean, it was Florida Atlantic looked good, too. But I would say that Marquise Noel's performance on a bad ankle was so amazing.
Yo, King, take me on the court for a second. Geek out with me, right? Because you had stuff to you, man. Like, you had a bag to you. You had different moves and counters and counters to the counters. What is it about the way he moves on the court that creates so much space? How does he create so much space on the court?
Yeah, so for Marquise Noel, number one, I think he's 5'8", right? He's about he's legit 5'8", 5'9". So anytime you're guarding a shorter player, they automatically have the advantage because of that angle. And they always say lowest player wins. Mm. And he's lower to the ground because he's so short. So he automatically has a driving angle that makes it hard. However, there's times last night, I mean, when he twisted his ankle, there's times where he'll get jammed up because he's so short to where if you just be able to keep him in front of you, keep him at a distance, you can contest. But then he also, if he drives by you, the thing that makes him so dangerous is his passing. That's what opens up everything else because you have to turn him into a scorer. Same thing, we played against Trae Young in college. The thing our coaches told us was he can score and he can pass. We have to take one of them away. So Marquise Noel is the same thing. He had 20 points, 19 assists. You have to either make him a true scorer and stay attached to everybody else, or you have to make him a passer and not allow him to score and take away his scoring, but you can't allow him to do both.
King, is this the year for Gonzaga? Every single year, it seems like we say that, but it sounds like now, sitting at the three seed, that they might all of a sudden be their year.
You know, I think that's funny. We say that all the time. We think this Gonzaga team is going to go all the way. They get there, and then they all end up, you know, letting a lot of people down. I mean, I think they looked good last night. And the thing that I was most impressed with in their past two wins with TCU and UCLA, I mean, those are gritty wins. They were down in the second half in both of those wins by double digits. I mean, they're a gritty team. This team is tougher than what I thought they were. I thought they were a team that's, you know, not really battle tested. I mean, I don't like that, like saying that about them, because they're still a good team regardless of who they play in conference. But this is a team who can tough it out at the end of the game. They're not scared. No matter how much they get down, they're led by one of the oldest players in college basketball, a legend, a veteran, my guy Drew Timmy. I mean, he dominated last night. The past two games, he was the best player on the court in both of those games.
Talking
so
to King,
I think this could possibly be their year. They have a legit chance, but I mean, UConn looks amazing. So I don't know. I mean, they're gonna have to get past a tough UConn team that looked great last night.
And now I will say, we're talking to King McClure, ESPN college basketball analyst, former Baylor guard. So you mentioned FAU. They made it to the Elite Eight. What, like, is that a shock to you?
Not really. And the reason I say not really is because when you look at their path of how they got there, I mean, they beat a Memphis team who was okay. They've been up and down this year. They have Kendrick Davis, one of the best guards in the country. But outside of that, they've been up and down. They played Fairleigh Dickinson in the second round. So Fairleigh Dickinson, I mean, happened to be Purdue, but Fairleigh Dickinson was not a great team, and they were extremely undersized. Then the next round, they play Tennessee. If you know anything about Tennessee, they are not a great offensive team. They're great defensively, the best defense in America. But offensively, they don't generate enough points in order to beat you. They're going to grind it out. There's going to be a low-scoring game, but they don't generate enough offense to really be able to outscore teams. That's not their MO. That's not who they are. So the fact that FAU beat them, I really wasn't shocked, because FAU has guards that can score. They play at a good tempo. And they also have a little bit of size to match up with Tennessee. So I wasn't shocked that FAU beat Tennessee. And I expected Tennessee to actually go out earlier, but I wasn't shocked about that. So when you look at FAU's path to the Elite Eight, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, the next round against Kansas State will be extremely tough, just because Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson are those dudes for real. But I'm not surprised by the way that they've been playing in their path to get to the Elite Eight.
King, take me to this 5-1 matchup in the Midwest, man. You got them boys playing tonight at 7:15 on CBS. Houston versus Miami. Miami's been one of those squads the whole year in ACC. They got guards that can go. And outside Brandon Miller, is Marcus Sasser the second best player in this tournament left?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I mean, I guess when you look at AP All-American awards and all the honors, I mean, I guess you have to give it to Marcus Sasser. But, I mean, honestly, after last night, Marquise Noel might be my second. But this matchup with Houston and Miami is going to be electric. You look at Isaiah Wong and the guard from Kansas State last night. I forgot his name. I'm having a brain slippage. But the one that came from Kansas State who played with Marquise Noel in the backcourt, those two guys are probably two of the best in the backcourt that we've seen all season. And they've been extremely consistent. But however, Houston on the other side with Jamal Sheed, Marcus Sasser, Tremont Mark. I mean, you talk about the best trio of guards in college basketball. Outside of Baylor, Houston probably has that. But I think Houston has the advantage because of the physicality. Anything, if you know anything about Kelvin Sampson, his teams will be the most physical teams on the floor. And last week, in the first weekend, everybody was concerned about Marcus Sasser's health. He didn't play the first game. The second game he played, he looked okay. He actually looked pretty solid. But this week, he's got a week to recover. He had a groin injury. He's got a week to recover. And now I feel like he's almost back to his normal self. So I think, yeah, he'll be able to get off. And Houston definitely has that advantage. And they have that guy, Jairus Walker, who is a one and done for sure. And we'll be in the NBA. We'll be a lottery pick next year. Mm. So that Houston is a team that I think will play in the next round, Texas, and maybe prevail. But I don't know. Texas looks good. So I think Texas might get him and go to the Final Four.
King McClure, ESPN basketball analyst, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, former All-American playing at Baylor. Your squad lost me a lot of money, but we'll talk about that off-air, King. I do want to ask you, we were talking about league. We had a lot of conversations around John Morant over the last couple of days, and we found ourselves digging deep into this one, King, and I need your answer. Who has the best highlight package in the NBA? The best highlight package. Like, you as a guard, who makes you – who gets you up on your feet, on your toes, man? You're like, I can't believe what I'm seeing each and every night. We got Zion. We got Kyrie. We got Ja. Who has the best highlight package in the league today?
We just basing it out of just those three?
No. What, in the league today. In the league today.
All right, so my personal answer might be a little weird. It might be a little different, but I'm gonna go with Luka, because Luka kind of just amazes me to be able to do what he does at 6'7", and to be able to get whatever shot off he wants to get off, and the passes that he makes. Whenever I watch him, he's one of the few players, and I'm just like, wow. But like, bro, how did he see that? Like, you talk about a bag, J. Will. I feel like his bag is extremely deep. And for his height and to be as slow as he is, but to get anywhere he wants to on the court, the way he uses his body to shield people off, the angles that he takes, his finishing, I mean, his vision, he honestly makes me drop my jaw every single time I'm watching him. And you're right, there's a lot of players in the league. Ja Morant, Kyrie, his ball handling, Ja Morant's athleticism. There's a lot of players who you can say have crazy highlight packages. But for me personally, I think I'm going to have to go with Luka, because he's amazing. I mean, just to watch what he does consistently,
you know,
is amazing.
King, it's one of those things where it's almost like it's deceptive, right? Because you have to see it. Like as a player, you played against some of my guys. You know, like when you see a guy who's slow, like, yo, how does he keep getting certain places on the floor? And his footwork, yo, that's also so underrated. Might have one of the best – might have the best footwork in the league.
All right, so King McClure, ESPN's college basketball analyst, says the highlight package guy that he likes to watch the most, his number one is Luka. I'm curious to hear what yours is, Key, and what yours is, Jay, because I got one also. King, thanks for joining us this morning.
All right, King.
Appreciate you having me.
All right, buddy.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max. All right. Coming up, what effect should Ja's suspension have on his future contract? And let me tell you something, guys.
Yes.
Switch to Boost Mobile for the power to save on one of America's largest 5G networks. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Ongoing process. You know, I've been there, you know, for 2 weeks, but that doesn't mean, you know, I'm completely better.
There should be somebody around him kicking his ass right now, just letting him know that you made a big mistake and this is not small, and you have to make up for it.
He understands the gravity of this situation, and so rightfully so, he is uncomfortable because this is a position he probably never hoped to be in.
He got the hard part out of the way. Now it's the easy part. It's getting back to playing basketball.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Jay, you asked King McClure, ESPN college basketball analyst, former Baylor guard. We were talking tournament in the last segment. You asked him in the NBA, who has your favorite highlight package, right? And he gave a surprise answer, Luka Doncic, because he's just amazed at what he can do without being the fastest guy on the court, right, or having the most hops. But at 6'7", all the things he could do. And we're talking Ja Morant and how much that 8-game suspension should hurt him in terms of his contract. Will he make all NBA? That'll affect the money he gets paid, all this stuff. Ja Morant's my answer. To me, like when you have an elite player who plays above the rim like Ja, that's such a rare thing, actually. You think of the history of the NBA, maybe a half dozen guys, Jordan and Kobe, and depending on how you define elite, right, you could talk about other guys, do Dr. J, although by the time he was in the NBA, it was already a little different than when he was in the ABA. You can mention Iceman like George Gervin. You could mention, yeah, a few other guys, Dominique, Vince Carter, who we have on the show, of course, and like a couple. But when that guy, when you have an elite MVP-level player who plays above the rim, to me, when he's an air walker, that to me is my favorite. So I would say Ja. Who would you say?
I would say Kyrie. I say it's between Ja and Kyrie.
Yeah, me too.
Because
yeah. Kyrie, even he's below the rim, he does everything.
Like, it's like literally, like Kyrie is like drawing like calligraphy with the basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's poetry in motion when you watch it. It's the best handles, I think, in the history of the league. I've never seen handles like it before.
Best overall skills. I mean, until Ja, that would have been my answer too, Kyrie. Yeah. But it's below the rim.
Agreed.
Key, what about you?
I don't care about above the rim, below the rim, or nothing like that. When a dude walks across the half court and he can just launch from anywhere on the floor.
Steph.
Come on, man, stop. Ain't even nothing to talk about. Yeah. He can do everything except dunk on people like Ja and maybe Kyrie from a time to time. He might flush it. But he can do all. He can pass. He got handles. He got all that.
Yeah, he do.
He does. But his handles are elite all time.
But look, Jay, you play guard. What am I doing? Come on now. You know he like a yo-yo. His deal is just like on a string, just like a Kyrie. Only Kyrie's a little bit better. But he can pull from everywhere on the court at any time he feels like it. And when he gets hot, it's unfair. It's to the point where he annihilates the opponent and they seem like they just quit when he gets hot.
You know, that's why I love watching those two go against each other, because they're both, like, they're not considered great defensive players.
Kyrie and Steph?
Yeah. But in those matchups, they both step up to the occasion because they want to lock up. Like, there's history between those two. Like, the Game 7 shot that Kyrie made. Like, the playoff rivalry between those two is a
no,
real
it's weird.
Damn
you
thing.
You bring up their defense. It's funny because consistently, Steph shows up to play defense more than Kyrie. Like, he's more present on defense than Kyrie. But in high-leverage moments, Kyrie is a better defender than Steph. Like, if you need one defensive play from a guy, you would choose Kyrie over Steph.
What are the metrics that say he's a better defensive player than Steph?
Who's
I'm saying in a high leverage moment, like, and you have to guard a guy, who would you choose, Kyrie or
I'm
Steph?
Just asking
There's
what
no
the metrics.
I'm doing eyeball
oh.
test.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right. Who would you
pick? Hey, Max, who said that, though? Why is that right?
Who's the first guy who said it? Who would you pick, Jay? Eyeball test or just your own opinion? You have one in other words, On a play-to-play basis to
neither.
Me.
Neither.
Right, but I'm comparing the two since you brought up defense. On a play-to-play basis, Steph is a present defender. He's just not very good. But Kyrie, when you need him to play defense, can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when Kyrie's locked in, I would say he's a better defender than Steph.
Right, but doesn't do it as
locked
consistently,
in.
Right?
Oh, because both of them have so much volume of what they do on the offensive end that it takes away a little bit from what their defensive effort is.
So we're talking
in that highlight stuff, man. When you think about it, Steph stuff just—I done seen him do some of what do you call it—the English spin off the backboard,
yeah,
the French spin off the
Jamaican,
other side,
yeah,
the Jamaican spin. Is that what you just said? I gotta see Steph. He's like, oh, he in trouble, and then all of a sudden, the ball goes in the hoop,
like a magnet, yeah.
Like it's just—I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just biased because I'm on the West Coast. Who knows? But
no, it's the shot making ability of Steph.
It's unbelievable,
man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so, we four different answers on this show in the last 5 minutes. Best highlight package: King McClure takes Luka Doncic. Jay, you take Kyrie. I take Ja, and Key takes Steph. A lot of great players in the NBA right now. So Ja's contract, guys, is affected by whether he makes All NBA. Team 1, 2, or 3, doesn't matter. There are 15 slots, and really 6 slots for the backcourt. And if he doesn't get one of them, His contract comes in $40 million lower than it would otherwise come in. $40 million lower. Desmond in South Carolina, you're on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN
Try
Radio.
Try me that all day.
Hey, right? Hey guys, thanks for having me. I wanted to ask about what about like Kyrie and Jaylen Brown? Do y'all not think they could be, and Donovan Mitchell, do y'all not think they could be place above a job when it comes to the all-NBA team?
Yeah, Jaylen Brown's a good one, Jay. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's Jaylen Brown should be in the conversation. Jaylen Brown's right there. I mean, Jason Tatum was in the MVP conversation. Jaylen Brown came on late, but once again, it's the full body of work. The wings are interesting to me because it poses a lot of different questions, right, Key? Like, are we in a world like where is Kevin Durant not going to be all NBA? Even though he's only played 42 games?
It feels like he played 12.
Right? Is LeBron James?
I haven't seen him play forever.
Who's your all NBA? Keep,
I have to think through that. We can't answer that on the fly.
Well, we know Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis. We know Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis.
I got to think
it,
through
right?
that. Like, I got to prepare that.
It's really the 12 guys because Embiid.
Who's
Jokic,
your all NBA
Giannis?
Coach, Jay?
You got 12 more slots.
Yeah. So, I like when you think it through, like, are you going to hold LeBron James off all NBA?
Depends.
Play 47 games? I mean,
yeah, depends. How many
single-handedly keeping the Lakers in the conversation in the Western Conference at age 38 years old?
Who are your locks to be on the team? And that'll tell you how many slots are left.
You know who my locks are?
Hmm.
Embiid.
Right.
Embiid.
Giannis.
Mm-hmm. Embiid, Giannis.
And Joker.
Right, those three. And then
those are my locks.
Luka?
You can't have – you said, well, yeah, because Giannis is a forward. Okay.
So there's four. If Luka is on, it's four. Is he on?
I got Dame. Now we're doing this all right now live, huh?
No, I'm not. He said,
it.
Who are my locks? I said those three.
Those
I know
three,
for
the
sure.
The three MVP dudes.
Yeah, I know those three for sure are going to be on one of the three teams.
So there's,
that's the only thing I can tell you.
So there's 12 slots left, basically.
I can't tell you about nobody else except those three.
Mordecai in North Carolina, you're on KJM ESPN Radio.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. So I want to say I don't have anything against Mr. Moran. Certainly I don't. He's a great player. But what I would say is that any player, Mr. Moran included, any player should be disqualified from any postseason accolades if their conduct is negative towards their character and or if their conduct imbues the integrity of the NBA. I think they should be totally disqualified.
Well, integrity would be like betting.
I think
would be like betting against your own team. That would be like integrity issue. But the problem with
Max, what occupation you in, my man? Where you work at?
Oh, well, actually, hey, Key, how you doing? I'm retired, but I was in finance for many, many years. Still a little bit of legal work, but mostly finance.
So, but okay. The problem with saying that it damages, you know, it's some kind of conduct detrimental, that's open to interpretation. What someone may consider something that impugns the league or the character of the league, someone else may not. You know, now.
That's what voting does. So that's when you have all these different voters.
It's subjective.
Like, that's the part that makes it challenging.
I think there's some things, like if you're hurting an innocent person intentionally, I think everyone would agree that's a bad thing. But things are open to interpretation.
Well, look, if that, the what-if factor, it would have gone off in there and bounced off a wall and didn't hit anybody, but it would have gone off, I'd take a different approach to it. I'm not going to punish him a second time, so to speak. The NBA has already handled it. Mm-hmm. However they handled it, some people agree, some people disagree. But they've already, you know, gave him his foul. So the writers or anybody else shouldn't give him another foul because he's already got one. He didn't get one from the NBA, then I'd be like, okay, cool.
He's already been punished. So coming up, you see, Ezekiel Elliott has the list of teams he wants to go to. Here's the real question. Do those teams want him, KJM?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are joined right now by the man himself, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL quarterback. What's going on, Tim?
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Tim?
Morning. Where do you think the best landing spot? We've seen the list where Zeke wants to go, but where do you think the best landing spot is for him?
Yeah, you know, kind of looking at that list yesterday, I feel like Cincinnati is a team that makes a lot of sense. And the reason I say it is this. Look, Zeke clearly is not what he once was. You know, he doesn't have the same burst, not the same speed. You know, but saying that, he scored 22 touchdowns over the last 2 years running the football. Like, he is still a physical, very good situational runner. And the other thing that he's excellent at is pass protection. And so I just look at Cincinnati as a team that could find a way to use him situationally, short yardage and goal line, maybe certain pass protection situations where, you know, you feel like your back is a little bit overmatched. I think there's value there for a team that, you know, is, you know, probably going to be in the mix because of who they have at quarterback and what the other things that they have going on offense. And then just even thinking about it as I'm talking about it, like, now you get inside the 5-yard line, get inside the 10-yard line, Zeke comes in as your goal line back. You know, now you have this power back that can run through tackles, but you also have to deal with those talented wide receivers in terms of one-on-one opportunity. So I know he said it. It sounds like Zach Taylor was surprised by it, but I feel like Cincinnati could be a good landing spot.
You talk about landing spots, and the same question that Max posed for Zeke. What about OBJ? What's the best landing spot for a guy who has coming off 2 ACL surgeries and probably isn't the front line number one guy, but still got a lot of stuff in his package?
Yeah, so I think that going somewhere where you have a really good quarterback. So that's probably a little bit of a cop-out for you, Key. But, like, I think that someone like OBJ, who, to your point, like, I don't know, you know, and I would even ask you, like, how many snaps do you think he can play? Like, can he play 40 snaps a game? Like, is he at that point of his career where, like, that's the number?
I think 40 snap guy is a second, third receiver in packages that run half personnel, 3 wide receiver personnel sort of situations.
Yeah, and so with that, right, you're not going to get 100 targets, right? So the number may be, not that. Let's just put it that way. And so for that, I feel like, all right, well, it's got to be a guy that when you do get your opportunities, like, they count. And that's why I think he's got to go play with a good quarterback, right? So you know, the Jets, you know, coming up, like, look, that in a strange way for me actually makes a lot of sense, because it's kind of like, look, it's bang for your buck when you're out there on the field, when you're playing with a quarterback who at any moment can kind of hit you with the big play or fit a ball in there. And he's the type of player that when he's right, at any moment can make a really big play. So I actually do think the Jets makes sense, you know, like him going somewhere where, you know, they're breaking in a quarterback, or it's a quarterback that is up and down in terms of production, or it's a quarterback who's really developing as a passer. Like, those don't make any sense for me when I look at OBJ and what a good landing spot would be.
Mm. Hey, Tim, obviously there's Aaron Rodgers talk every single day on every show, on every network, all the time, waiting for us to determine which team he goes to, and is it the Jets, and, you know, what do the Packers get in return as relates to compensation. And I know how he would fit in on the field, but how do you feel about the way everything has actually gone down with him and the Packers organization?
Look, I'm actually good with it. Now, I think he's wrong in terms of feeling like he has not been set up to win there. And, look, maybe, you know, I don't understand how, you know, hurt he was by the drafting of Jordan Love and feeling like maybe they haven't surrounded him with better players. So that's fine. I you know, I get that. And I think maybe part of his thought process is seeing what Brady did leaving New England and going to Tampa and kind of feeling like he's got a little bit more control because they're so excited to have him in the locker room. So I think there's elements of that where I guess I can see his perspective, although that's not exactly right where my mind goes with it. And then in terms of what he's done, look, I think in some ways it's refreshing. I know that we kind of all joke about, look, we wait for him to go, you know, talk to McAfee and kind of tell us what's going on, you know, with him and his mindset. But, like, the reality of it is, like players have been kind of doing that behind the scenes for a long time where they're just leaking information to insiders and it's kind of veiled and it's kind of anonymous. I think there's kind of been part of this that's been refreshing for been a few years now where, you know, Aaron goes and sits down with Pat and he's like, yeah, guess what? Like, my intention is to go play for the Jets and some compensation has to be worked out. And that's the plan. Like, that's look, Jay Will, like, and at some level, that's actually kind of refreshing to me with how things have typically gone with NFL players, you know, trying to talk behind the scenes about what their wishes are.
Mm. Mm. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, former selfish NFL quarterback, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. Tim, you've been paying attention, obviously, calling college football over the last couple of years, but also paying attention to these young quarterbacks that are in the draft. Of the four, which one of these guys are your favorite and you think will probably get a faster start to excel in the NFL?
Yeah, I love Bryce Young. And what's interesting, Kay, is like of the four, you know, he's the – and he's not a – not that he doesn't have good arm talent or is not, you know, a really physically talented player, but he's kind of the least physical able, you know, of the guys, you know, in terms of if you were to rank them in terms of arm strength and things of that nature. But his feel is so good. Like when you watch a guy play and you're just like, you know what? He just gets it, man. Like he just understands how to play the position. He's got a calmness about him, but he can kind of step on the gas when he needs to. I really enjoyed watching him play. And I also think he's got this seriousness in terms of his makeup to be really good. Like, I think that it's, while he clearly has fun playing the game, it just feels like his approach and his seriousness to be really good is awesome. There's a maturity about that I loved. And, look, I know, and we have it up on the screen, like, you know, talking about his height and stuff. Look, it's not ideal. It's something you have to get over. But, you know, he has plenty of arm strength. He's proved that he can play from inside the pocket. He understands concepts that will be run in the National Football League. And I think if he goes to Carolina, it's a great fit. And I would just add this. You know, we talk about all these four guys. Guy that I think is really interesting is Hendon Hooker. You know, Hendon Hooker was having a remarkable year at Tennessee. He's not in the conversation with any of these four quarterbacks. And I think rather than racing up to go get somebody like Anthony Richardson, who, you know, does not have a ton of experience, Hendon Hooker's played a lot of football, played at Virginia Tech for a while before transferring to Tennessee, had remarkable success at Tennessee. And, you know, if not for the ACL injuries, maybe winning the Heisman Trophy. And, you know, this process is a little bit different for him as well. So
I
think there's a fifth guy that, you know, is just not in the mix. And, you know, somebody could end up getting a really good quarterback.
Tim, does Bryce Young not getting on the scale yesterday at the pro day, does that, like, if you were looking at that as a personnel guy, what would you say knowing that he was 195 so pounds at the combine but did not get on the scale yesterday several weeks after the combine? And you and I both know you eat, you water up, you do all of those sort of things for the combine. You don't work out because you're going to do the workout at school. What would you say?
I think exactly what you just said. Like, you just, you're like, okay, like, you think you're fooling us by not getting on the scale, but we know exactly what you're doing. I'm not super concerned about, you know, the weight situation. It's obviously something you can work with on a guy. Look, I don't look at him as a guy that has a frame where you'd say, look, he can't play at 205 pounds. Like, I think that he can. But I also would kind of learn a little bit more about him, you know, from the standpoint of, like, does he need to play at 205 pounds? The game is very different. Quarterbacks are protected differently than they ever have been. And so I think some of the emphasis on being, you know, 6'4", you know, 230, being super strong and just, you know, kind of being built that way, while I would prefer that, I don't think it's as necessary as it once was. And look, we've seen a lot of 6'4", 230-pound stiffs, right? And look, we've seen smaller guys not make it. So I'm not going crazy about that in either direction.
Yeah. Tim Hasselbeck, ladies and gentlemen. You can see him across all kinds of ESPN platforms, including this just in, 2 p.m. Eastern.
I call them Sub-Zero Refrigerators.
Okay, there we go.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, see you guys.
Hey, coming
they're
up.
So damn, they're so damn big, Max. You need three or four people to move them off the spot.
So, Key, Jay is trying to set a consecutive day streak for going viral and has put together
my all-NBA team.
His all-NBA team.
He's put
his name to it. All-NBA. Did you break it up into first, second, and third team?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Who did he snub is the question.
Oh, damn.
We're presented trending by Progressive Insurance. And by the way, we got to get into this fake fish thing. Boy, this thing got me mad.
What?
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. This fake fish story has me mad, Key.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it fake fish.
It's just they're selling you the cheapest fish they can find and calling it.
Yes.
And calling it, there are these
something
restaurants.
Different.
They're getting this from overseas. They're getting like the cheapest fish they can find.
Yes.
And they're preparing it in a way you can't tell from looking at it. And they're charging you 10 times as much. Should be illegal.
That's what they do. They do that. So you got to be very careful. All these different random spots that you always talk about. Oh, yeah, I go eat here. This is great.
Flounder.
Like, you'll be eating very bad stuff, paying for the great stuff. You like hamburgers, right?
Yeah.
And you figure ground beef is ground beef, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. See, so they like charge the you ground. An upcharge like for a Wagyu there. Burger,
yeah.
And you're paying for some cheap, you know, ground chuck.
Yeah.
You'd be mad as hell,
that's
Max,
right.
If you're paying ground $30 chuck for a burger and they serving you $5 worth of burger. Like, you wouldn't like that.
Key, and the fish, it's always the same fish. I saw the same thing you did on social media. And it's, I forgot what it is, from Taiwan. I forgot exactly where it was.
Yeah, I forgot the name
fish,
of it, too.
And it's like the cheapest one they could find. And it's always the same fish that they're serving it. They're calling 15 other things.
Yep, and they're charging a boatload of money. And if you don't know what the fish is supposed to taste like and the texture of the fish, you're just like, oh, it's fried, I'm good, I'm going.
Yeah.
That's happened in some sushi restaurants out here in L.A. where they DNA test you. Like, how do they know? Because they DNA test the fish based on, you know, what it looks like. They say, oh, okay, this doesn't really quite look like this. It's not halibut. It's something else but you're calling it halibut, and you're charging $30 for it.
Not at Sugarfish, I'll tell you that much, because if you ever order from that place, they got the whole thing where they got the pictures of what it's supposed to look like, and then you pick up the fish, and they're like three or four different ones. It could be that. I don't know, but all right, listen.
Yeah, I'm going to send you something.
Guys keep talking about fish.
I'm going to send you something, though. I'm going to Google it and send it to you, because you mentioned something. So.
Wait a minute, I couldn't hear you.
You guys are talking about fish. I'm really trying to figure out my all NBA teams.
Yes.
It's really difficult.
Yeah.
Please keep talking about fish, because I'm
struggling. Wait, is it first, second, and third team?
You're doing first, second, and third.
See, I would have just said just.
Well, I won't even talk about the fish. I won't even talk. You still need help?
No,
no.
Who you got?
I think I got it.
Who you got?
Okay, go.
But, oh, God. Screw it, we'll do it live. Yates, here we go. First team. I got Luka.
Let me put up a list of NBA. I'm going to put up a list of NBA players just to find out who you snubbed.
Okay, Luka, first team. I got Ja Morant, first team. I got Tatum. I got Giannis. And I got Embiid.
All right.
So my first team, Luka Doncic, Ja Morant, Jason Tatum, Giannis, and Embiid. Second team, I got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Mm-hmm. I got Dame. Mm-hmm. I got KD. I got Sabonis.
Mm-hmm. Have a great year.
And I got Jokic.
All right.
Third team, I got De'Aaron Fox, Steph, Jaylen Brown, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis.
Okay, let's look at the snubs. Let's get right into this here. You have
– So, first team, Luka, Ja, Tatum, Giannis, Embiid.
By the way, it's a pretty good
second
list.
Team, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dame, KD, Sabonis, Jokic. Third team, Fox, Curry, LBJ, Jaylen Brown, and AD.
No, so, Jalen Brunson.
I don't have Jalen Brunson. No, because okay. I think De'Aaron Fox had a – I think
did you say Kyrie?
No, Kyrie.
I did not say Kyrie.
Oh, okay.
No Kyrie, no Brunson, no
you no, did Laurie, no Laurie Markkanen.
No Markkanen.
No Julius Randle.
You got Jalen Brown in there, though.
I think Jalen Brown
deserves
it. You did
not get Donovan Mitchell in there.
I did not have Donovan Mitchell.
No Devin Booker. Missed a lot of games, Devin Booker.
No Devin
Booker. No Trae Young.
No Trae Young.
No James Harden.
No.
No Harden, no Trae.
Harden's had a great season when he's on the court, though, when he has been healthy. Still a pretty good list. I think, I'm trying to think if I disagree with that.
You said Dame, right?
I said Dame's on my first. Dame's on second team. Him and Shai, second team.
So you have a lot of guys who missed a lot of time, but you're right at those positions.
You got everybody on there, really?
I mean, the position thing is hard. You know,
less controversial than I thought it would be. Actually, unfortunately, thought we'd get you trending again.
So any issues with the first team?
Well, he's
let's go through teams.
Regardless.
So Luka, Ja Morant, Jason Tatum, Giannis, Joel Embiid. Any issues with the first team?
I might say you figure out a way to get Jokic on there by playing someone at the forward.
You can't.
You got three bigs on there. How are you going to have three bigs?
You need one center.
You just call him a forward or something. I don't know. Go ahead. Yeah,
but you got three bigs.
Fine, whatever.
And okay. I think Joel Embiid is going to win MVP.
Yeah, I agree.
So, second team, Shai, Dame, KD, Sabonis has had a hell of a year, and then Jokic.
KD's missed a lot of time. But I guess who would you take over him?
A dude shooting like 60% from the field, man. It's different.
Yeah.
Lethal
That's score. Why I asked you earlier, Jay, has he played this year?
Yeah.
I got one for you.
KD, 43 games. I mean.
Ant-Man.
Yeah, Ant-Man. Ant-Man making the push. He's had a hell of a year. I don't know if that's all NBA yet, though.
Mm. Yeah, me. I
don't know if it's – I think it's like there. It's kind of like the Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson thing for me. It's there. But I'm not sure it's all the
So the guys who narrow who aren't
it's like
on the
Mitchell.
List.
Donovan Mitchell, like, it's like right
Donovan
there for
Mitchell,
me.
But Devin,
am I going to get the edge of Donovan Mitchell over Steph?
No.
Like for third team, De'Aaron Fox, like they've been top three in the West all year.
It's close.
It's close.
Darius Garland.
I mean, Donovan.
Trae Young.
A lot of questions around, Atlanta, but.
I think I agree.
Who am
in
I replacing
end,
Trae
I
Young
actually,
with on third team? Are you replacing Trae Young with Steph?
Oh, no.
You got it to him over De'Aaron?
No, I wouldn't.
So that's what I'm saying.
I think he's right. Key, I can't think of who I would take off.
No, this is fine. I don't have to deal with social media, Jay will.
I don't. The social media don't bother
me. So Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards.
It's a good list.
Who else?
Kyrie. Laurie Markkanen.
Kyrie. Markkanen, Julius Randle. Maybe I wouldn't take any of those guys over who you have in there. Not okay. This season.
All right.
I think you got it.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'll give it to KJ and
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.